The reading this morning is from the 11th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. By the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and the little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. Here ends the reading.
And he had spent 3.5 hours standing in line at the DMV. When he got up to the counter, the clerk looked at him in her just oh so nice surly gaze and said, "You don't have the right paperwork. Come back tomorrow," and turned and walked away. The man was incensed. He stormed out of the building and he got in the car and he realized, wow, it's my kid's birthday. I need to stop and get him a gift. So he stopped at Toys R Us and selected his gift. And he walked up to the counter. And the clerk said, "You're going to pay cash or charge with that?" And he screamed and snapped at her just like the clerk had snapped at him at the DMV. And he then looked at her and apologized. He said, "I'm sorry. I spent the last 3.5 hours at the DMV and to be told I didn't have the right paperwork, and I had to come back tomorrow." And the clerk looked down, and there laid this bat, and she says, "Would you like me to wrap this, or are you going back?" Think about that. Today we're talking a little bit about peace. Peace says this. I want you to try something a little bit today. I want you to sit back and close your eyes. Go ahead, sit back, close your eyes. And I want you to envision in your mind the perfect Christmas. Does your Christmas involve the beautiful music? As it just plays in the air, you hear it. You see the people singing and laughing and enjoying the holiday. Does your Christmas involve all the presents, the beauty, the wrapping paper, the smiles on the children's faces? Does your Christmas involve family? The more family you have in the house, the brighter the Christmas will be. Is everybody in their perfect Christmas right now? Everybody's ready for that, right? Now I want you to envision this. Your Christmas doesn't involve the Christmas music. There's no mighty hymns being played anywhere. Your Christmas doesn't involve all the presents you could ever want and then some. Your Christmas doesn't even bear an ornament on that tree. Your Christmas is alone. There's no family. It's you, all alone. Okay, now open up your eyes. The first Christmas was easy to picture, wasn't it? Everybody could picture the first Christmas that was happy? Nobody, really? How many can picture the second Christmas a whole lot easier? I guess I'm the only one in the room. The second Christmas is a Christmas a lot of us that we live in. We live in that time that we search for the perfect holiday. Have you ever been around a group that they talk about, well, we're going to get together, then we're going to do Christmas? It's not we're going to do presents. We're going to do Christmas. We're going to do Christmas. The gift, the present. Today, Isaiah is predicting for us in a kind of a blunt, harsh way, the coming of the Savior, and we're missing it. We're missing all of it because if you look at the text, it talks about Jesus is going to be coming from the lineage of David. Now, I'm going to give you just a little bit of biblical history here right now. The lineage of David at this point in time is dead. David's long gone, folks. His family tree has been cut off to nothing more than a mere stump. His people are not looked on as trophies any longer. This is the truth. This is the true story. And the people, when they heard Isaiah stand there and say that the Messiah was coming from the lineage of David, the people didn't believe it. There's no way, because the stump was dead. There was no family to carry on. That was it. It was dead and gone. The perfect Christmas was never going to happen. But I should have titled this sermon series this Advent, But God this. Because God says to Isaiah, this is going to happen. But he also passes this vision on to Nathan. And I want to share it with you this morning. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 to 17. It says, when the time comes for you to die and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your descendants. One of your very own children to succeed you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a temple for my name, and I will establish his royal throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Whenever he does wrong, I will discipline him with a human rod, with blows from human beings. But I will never take my faithful love away from him like I took it away from Saul, whom I set aside in favor for you. Your dynasty and your kingdom will be secured forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported all these words and this entire vision to David. This entire vision to David. And this is what Isaiah builds on here. He's really building on this. And I want you to picture this. We've all seen the stump in the woods, haven't you? Growing up, my grandmother had a farm in southern Illinois, and her house was a log cabin that my grandfather had built out of the woods that was on the farm. And there was this old stump down by the lake that all of us kids would go to when we go to grandma's house. And that stump became a place to sit and watch others swim. It became a place to jump off of and think that you could fly. It was a stump that life happened at. You tell your cousins, hey, meet me at the stump. And everybody knew where we were going. To the stump. An old, dead, cut down tree that now built the cabin that my grandmother lived in. The stump is where we would meet. We thought this stump had been dead for years, folks. Then one day, a little shoot came out the side of the stump. And that little sapling took life. And that sapling started to grow. And I'd like to tell you that today, there's a beautiful tree standing there looking over the lake. Because the stump still had life. Because the roots were still connected to God. Isaiah's painting the same picture for us today, folks. The image of a sapling still growing out of the stump that once was David's family. Think about a sapling as it starts to grow. Think of the struggles that it has as it comes through the earth. As the earth is so hard around a tree, it's so compact. But the little sapling continues until it forces its way through the ground and starts to grow. And continues to grow because the root was still alive. Flash forward to the time some of you might remember. I'm an avid history buff. I love history. Anything on History Channel, I'm watching. I read history books all the time. In fact, I just finished a real good book about George Washington's Secret Six that was just phenomenal. The spies that helped establish this country. History. The year 1929. The year of the Great Depression. Our world is turned upside down. People are in despair, aren't they? There's one thing that I noticed from the images that I've seen about the Great Depression and listening to the stories throughout my life is people were losing hope. There was no hope for anyone. Families were being divided. They were having to travel to different parts of the country to try to find work to send money home to help those at home. There wasn't, I rip a hole in my pants, I'm going to get a new pair of pants. It was, let's fix those. And when we fix those, we give them to your little brother or your cousin or somebody else because there's still life in them. We didn't throw them away. My dad used to tell stories about rock soup. Now, some of you might know what rock soup is. Rock soup was the moss that grew on sides of rocks, and they boiled that, and they had it as soup. My dad thought that was great. His three sons didn't see the image in rock soup that Dad did. Tried it, didn't like it. But there was no hope. People were suffering. Until things started to change. Just a little bit. The one thing that never died during the Great Depression was the churches. Churches continued to meet. In fact, churches was the place for people to go and establish some kind of social life. It was a time to come in and sing and praise the Lord, even though you was walking through the darkest valley you'd ever seen in your life. I want you to flash forward to 2014. Those of you that are old enough or can remember the Great Depression, imagine what it would be like today in the United States if we had the Great Depression happen again. Would we see our churches flourish? Would we see more crime? Would we see more I needs than I want to help? We have to really look at the whole picture. It says this. As we sat back and we were really thinking about our true Christmas and the hope that was there, I want you to envision this in your mind. A package, a beautiful package with red ribbon, just huge, sitting underneath the Christmas tree. And it shows up on December 1st with no name tag on it. And the children are walking around and they're looking at the package, but they're not allowed to pick it up. They're not allowed to touch it. They can only see this package sitting there and the anticipation building inside them about who's that for? What's inside there? I need to know. And they would sit there for hours in the living room and they'd stare at that package, willing it to open itself at times, laying down in front of it with their head propped up, staring at the package, thinking they're going to develop X-ray vision at some point and see inside the box. Christmas morning happens, and the children rush to the room. There's the package under the tree, and it's already been opened. Just sitting there, wide open. And you walk up and you look inside the box, and the only thing laying inside there was this: the Word of God for the people of God. No other Christmas presents anywhere but the Word of God. And then you sit down and your mother opens the book up and she starts to read you Luke's account of what Christmas was all about. And then as she reads each verse, your father walks in and hands you another present. And you open it. Then your mother reads the next verse, and then another present appears. Then she reads the next verse, and another present appears. And when it was all said and done, you appreciated those presents even more than you did just tearing into the packages. It took time to find it. It took time for the sapling to grow. It took time for the kingdom of God to be established from the stump of Jesse. The stump still has the living roots. The stump is still alive. The stump is alive today. We are filled with peace today because the stump, it lives. Even though what we see on the earth's surface looks dead, God's still alive underneath the ground. He's still supplying the nutrients to the roots. When you're struggling throughout this holiday season, and all of us will, we will be longing for family members that have passed and gone home to God. We will be looking at our wallets and realizing that we don't have all the financial resources in the world to provide the world's greatest Christmas to our children. We have loved ones who are separated away from us and are off on military missions. We have inner strife going on in our families, and we realize conflict's going to happen. When we are sitting there on the stump during this Advent season, I want you to picture this. The greatest Christmas gift is growing underneath where you're at. When you think it's the darkest time, God's still alive inside you, providing you the happiness of the season before you. Please stand and join us in our closing song.